and it is Friday, and it's the Friday of Dead Week, which means finals next week. Yay! I know you're all excited as I am. And
hey, I brought us another guest.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good. Apparently have a guest as well. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, you know, anyway.
The more voices you have, the more fun the show is going to be. So.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're good. No, I was just getting started. Anyway, I wasn't really starting anything yet. Okay. But we're going to kind of do an update of what's going on with Aggie Sports. To start out, we'll just kind of give you kind of a recap of what has happened this week. On Monday, we did tell you that our softball team was in action. And they... Okay, I'll get it. Anyway, Monday they were playing against Colorado State, and we lost that game, but then we won on Tuesday to win that series. And so they did all right there. They're back in action today against San Diego State. It's their last road trip of the season.
Oh, man.
And... they've been doing really well.
How's the softball team looking all together this season?
Yeah, well, I mean, this year they're 24-21 right now, that's a lot better than last year. Okay. And so, I mean, they've had a lot of improvement, and hopefully they can have some success in the Mountain West tournament or however they figure that out with softball.
I'm not sure the
format.
You know, I remember the first half of this year when we were talking about Aggie Sports, and we'd always talk about track, and we could just not figure out how track wins, losses, scoring worked.
Shout out to the track team, they're up there at Idaho State today.
Oh, are they? Yeah. Okay, shout out track team, tear it up.
Yeah, they not everyone's going. They're kind of resting some of their key runners because they don't
conference
want them to be tired.
Up, right?
Yeah, because conference is coming up. And really, for track, you get a certain amount of points for each place that you get. Like, first place will get more than, like, say... oops.
I did it, too, first hour.
First place will get a certain amount of points, and then second will get a little bit less, and third will get a little bit less. And then I think fourth usually gets points, too, and then after that, they might do more.
We kind of figured out it took a long time on Google, and it cleared a few things up, but raised a lot of more questions. So, track, you're a different breed. We respect you.
Individual, but team sport at the same time.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I did that in high school. I just did throwing events.
Yeah.
And I know about the scoring thing. I didn't really ever think about it, but my senior year, like,
you were just there to throw stuff. Let's be honest. You were just like, I want to throw heavy stuff.
And I was like, I was out to
can.
Win and stuff. I won most of my meets in discus. But then in districts, it was like important that we got the points from like my performance and like.
So that's where those points matter.
Yeah.
Like events.
And I won discus in district and state. So that was pretty cool. But then I got second in the shot put, which, you know, gave us some more points. And actually, we got some exciting news. Is one of our athletes from our track and field, Macy Bingham, is actually going to go down as the best hammer thrower in USU history. And you guys know what the hammer is?
Yeah, it's the ball on that big chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically, it's like a shot put sort of thing, and then you have a chain attached to it.
Oh, wow.
And you spin around and just launch it. And she apparently has set the record for the longest throw for a female hammer thrower in school history.
Good for her.
And that was in
congratulations
the
her.
Home meet just a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
yeah. And
let me tell you, here's a funny story just to take up a little time. When I lived in Arizona last summer, that's where I worked, and my boss, who I also live with, my boss, we all lived in the same house. He threw in college, and he also was a coach and stuff.
Yeah.
And he would come back, and there's very few things to do in Arizona other than engorge a certain type of beverage, you know, mm-hmm. in your downtime, in this part of Arizona at least. So, you know, after a couple of these beverages, he would always come to my room. He'd be like, Connor. And I'm like, what? He's like, will you take me to the track field right now? And his favorite hobby to do after a couple of drinks would go, and he would just throw hammer for a good hour and a half. And trust me, that was the greatest thing of all time to watch.
I bet it was pretty interesting.
But it's exciting. Watching people throw the hammer is cool, dude.
Yeah, I wish that they would have had it in Idaho high school track. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they do it in some places in track, but they don't in Idaho. They also don't have the javelin in Idaho high school.
The javelin's cool.
Right?
One of my favorite things to do is look up on the internet of people getting hit with the javelin.
That's those a terrible are, thing to love to
those
do.
Are
I mean, no, I totally understand it, but it's still a terrible thing.
So are you telling me you have or have not watched those videos?
I have watched them, but I don't, like, you know, constantly seek them out.
You
or
don't
anything.
Appreciate them?
You don't go out of your way to search.
I appreciate them in the sense that, like, it's interesting to watch. But at the same time, I'm just like, every time that they get hit, because that would be terrible. It would hurt so bad.
I've seen one, some Olympics recently, I think it was. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but anyway, so how far would you guess was the record that she just set?
Now, how much does it weigh?
That's a good question.
Give me an estimate. Like, I don't know.
No, it weighs more than eight, I think. I'd say probably about 10 pounds.
I'll say 86 feet.
I'm thinking 120.
Okay.
Neither one of you is even close.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, she threw it 204 feet,
Holy
6 inches.
Holy crap. 204 feet. Wow.
That was a record breaker. So
good
that
for
is.
Her.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I'm going to look up right now and see how much it weighs, uh-huh. because I'm just guessing on that one. But, I mean, 200 feet.
That's a long ways.
Yeah.
So do they have weight classes when it comes to, like, hammer throw that certain people come in and throw different weights?
Females.
Or
yeah, I mean, it's the difference between males and females. Yeah.
So if I'm a guy who weighs 180 pounds, I can be throwing against a guy who weighs 250 pounds?
Yeah. I mean,
that's
like,
crazy.
In high school or whatever, you would be throwing against me, same size or whatever.
That's crazy.
Yeah. My roommate, he's a small guy. He's on the track team. He's actually up there today. Shout out to Sam and Logan. But he's a shot putter, and he's a small guy. Oh, you met Sam.
Yeah.
Man, he can throw that shot put like crazy.
Do you remember Cass from high school, bro?
Focus.
She
not talking about
put.
High school.
She did shot put.
I'm talking about college sports.
Talk about shot put.
Shot put.
Yeah.
How much does it weigh, do you know?
I'm still looking it up. I didn't type in the words in the right order for it to pop up, you know?
Google, too picky for me, man. But I'll tell you, track is an interesting sport. I used to not have as much respect for track back in the day, but those cats are in shape.
Oh, yeah. How do you not have respect for them? I mean, they just run and run and
that's
run.
What that's what I was basing. I was like, beast. Man, they just run. Like, I run, but I played lacrosse in high school, and I was like, I run, and people hit me in the face with a stick while I do it. Like, how am I supposed to respect this cat who just runs, you know? But, you know, I've come to appreciate, you know, what they're actually doing. I mean, they're putting down some speed.
Oh, yeah.
Usain Bolt, when he broke the record, I mean, how fast was he moving? 20-something miles an hour?
He ran like a 9.
I feel like it was probably faster than that.
Maybe 30-something?
That guy's so fast.
It's ridiculous.
He's I would call him
second
insane
200
Bolt
or something. Yeah, insane Bolt.
You know he owns a cheetah.
He is a cheetah.
I don't know. He goes out and has foot races with his cheetah.
I'm gonna be surprised.
And he also drives an M5. Chandler, I thought you'd appreciate that.
Slam it.
M5s are pretty fast, but I mean, yeah, I also am not really a Beamer guy. But anyway, yeah, that's. Kind of what's
fun fact.
Fun fact.
Side note, side now note. That we're on Usain Bolt, is did you know his coach wasn't going to let him compete in that race in the Olympics?
Why not?
Something about him being too tall, not well enough, and that he wouldn't fare well against people in that heat or in that,
he
you
showed
know,
him.
At the event of the Olympics. But Usain Bolt has been breaking records since he was like 16.
Well, he slows down at the end.
Oh yeah, he when he's crossing the finish line, you remember that big thing how he could have knocked off more time, except he celebrated before he even crossed. Yeah, he still
shattered
every record.
And he's pounding his chest as he's running.
Yeah,
I think that was on the 200 that he pounded his chest. But he like
still
broke the record
like
on both
second,
of those because
like,
he was just ridiculously fast.
I know, that's incredible.
I'm having a hard time finding this. We'll probably just find it during the break or something.
Well, that's fine.
But yeah, also our women's track and field team, they've already started their Mountain West tournament. Or tennis. Did I say track and field? I meant
you
tennis.
Said track and field?
The women's tennis team has already started their tournament. And they won the other day. They beat Air Force 4-3.
Wow.
Okay. And so they're in action again today against Fresno State, and that's down in Fort Collins, Colorado. So that's at the campus of Colorado State. And our men's tennis team is starting their tournament today at 4 in Las Vegas. And they are the number one seed. We're the first team in school history to win a Mountain West championship, because we just moved to the Mountain West a couple years ago. And they're the first ones to be able to get over that hump. And so they're going against Fresno State today, who Fresno State hasn't won in conference. And we've just kind of dominated them, along with everybody. We've beat everybody. So big things from them this year. And hopefully they can keep it up and, you know, win that tournament as well. And I assume they have nationals afterwards. So
tennis is a great sport. I just started playing tennis this last year, like, recreationally.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I was never good at tennis.
To play at the caliber those guys play, it's crazy.
The spin and everything.
I know.
When I go out and play tennis,
it's a whole different sport.
I always, like, go through, like, a bucket of tennis balls just because I lose them. Like, they just go, they're going
out. You're a man of power.
I just get frustrated. Yeah.
What else do we got going on in sports?
Got anything out there on there about the
That's mostly it. I mean, we got track and field, softball, and tennis, and that's
what about baseball? Baseball.
Well, baseball is going on, but it's not like through the school, and so it's harder to find out. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a club, and it's harder to find out what exactly they're doing.
I heard there's some big stuff coming up for our girls' rugby team. I heard they got a game coming up, and if they do good, like, they go to nationals.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I know that both of our rugby teams are doing pretty well. Our men's team is done. I think they got third or fourth in
the
tournament.
That's really good. It's competitive in the,
yeah,
like with BYU and stuff.
Yeah,
really good.
But speaking about rugby, you know that the USA team just beat the All Blacks for the first time ever.
Well, it was the like under 17 team. But
first time ever. That's still pretty big.
And that's insane because the All Blacks, they're like well known as the best rugby team, best rugby program in the world.
Oh, that's crazy. I had no idea.
Oh, New Zealand, yeah, New Zealand is all about that rugby.
Come on, man! Didn't
you
see that Morgan Freeman
from,
movie?
New Zealand, and they're crazy on it.
Didn't you see that Morgan Freeman movie with the South Africans?
No.
He was Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What was that called?
Invictus.
Yeah, Invictus.
I've definitely heard about it. Might have seen a little bit of it.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
But then there was also Forever Strong. It's about rugby, and they talked a little bit about the All Blacks, I think, if I remember right. I know that I've seen stuff about the All Blacks a few times.
You know that a guy from the Patriots is playing on the USA team for the Olympics this year.
Oh, yeah, who?
I can't remember his... and I was trying to find it right now.
But,
anyway, yeah.
Yeah, there was a guy that he was signed by the 49ers last year, that he was a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he got cut. I think that he's with someone else now.
Rugby players.
I'd have to look it up.
Now, we're going to talk about tough athletes later in the show. Correct?
Yeah. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about if we think that they're like not as tough as athletes in previous times.
Well,
and we kind of get into that.
We're talking about tough athletes. Rugby players. Those are some
tough
athletes.
They're their own breed, man.
Yeah.
But, no, I found it, and it's Nate Ebner.
Nate Ebner. Ebner
Nate
or Ebner?
Ebner.
Ebner. Nice.
So, Nate Ebner, you'll be seeing him. Rugby team, USA.
Yeah. And
Rio, 2016.
Rio, 2016.
I heard that's having a struggle.
I mean.
To go down. The Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, there's some issues going on.
Yeah.
I would say more than some is what I've heard. I've heard it's a lot of just back-to-back funding, corruption.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, it's not near as bad as the World Cup in Qatar.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
The World Cup in Qatar, they had no infrastructure. They had no stadiums. And they were building everything from scratch because they had the money to do it. But they basically have slave labor, and like thousands of workers have died like trying to make these things for them.
That's crazy.
And also, they got that bid because of a bribe and stuff, and because all the corruption in FIFA.
Yeah,
FIFA's been super corrupt, and they're kind of working on it now.
They had to replace their head guy, the president of FIFA, because of corruption and stuff.
Yeah.
Soccer, in the near future, you're going to be seeing a lot of changes with soccer. But talking about the Olympics that, you know, is coming up this summer, it's going to be interesting. Brazil, they have Brazil's a very big country.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
one time.
Their places and their venues are very spread out throughout the country. So just coordinating athletes, getting them to and from places, and they're not super accessible places. Remember, it's Brazil.
It's a little sketchy in some places.
Yeah, they don't have all the public
transportation. That's going to be a challenge in itself. There's
not good public transportation. They do have it, and that's how you have to get around, but it doesn't really work. They don't really have, like, charter services as much. No. But, I mean, it kind of worked out during the World Cup because they had the teams, and they would just, like, fly to wherever they were supposed to be, and then they would play there for a little while, and then they would, like, leave after a while. But, like, with the Olympics, it's like you have your full team is going to go, and then you're just going to split up and go all over the place. It's going to be
nuts.
And
then you're going to crash in the Andes and eat your teammates.
That's pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible. But you do what you have to do.
So you're talking about changes to soccer.
Yeah.
That's a topic for another time. Yeah. That could be a whole show in itself.
Yeah. Could be. Maybe next week, if I can convince you to come on. But
come on. I won't be around next weekend. But
not next weekend, summer. Like Monday, summer. I'm saying. I'll do it Monday and Friday. Okay. But either way, yeah, I could figure that out. But also want to move on really quick, talk about, just briefly mention again, our men's tennis team is our team of the week. Usually do an athlete, but now we're doing a team.
Whole team.
And announced that on Monday and just kind of reiterating it right now because, as I said, they were the first team in our school history to win a Mountain West tournament or Mountain West championship. For the regular season, so
right on,
it's awesome.
It's exciting for them. And now, the fun part.
What's the fun part? Let's get into it.
The fun part is the wall of shame.
The wall of shame.
And so every Monday and Friday, we add someone or
I love team this segment by
to
the
wall of shame.
This is my favorite segment. I think on Which anybody does on the whole everybody. Radio.
It's pretty much anyone in sports. And sometimes a couple times I've done it that wasn't actually in sports, like. With Donald Trump saying 7-11 instead of 9-11.
Oh, I know. That was great. Oh,
did he really?
Yeah.
I'm not really following too closely on that. But
yeah, and then people were saying that it was because the fire station that was Fire Station 7-11 that was there, whatever. And it's like, no, that was the address of the building.
That's
not
like
the
one of the biggest things that's happened to our country.
Yeah.
I know. And one of the front runners for president doesn't even understand it.
I can't believe that he's a front runner. I mean, basically the whole race, I'm pretty set that we're going to be in trouble however it goes down.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I just kind of stopped. I'm just like, yeah, it's going to take its...
Honestly, I'm the same way, but like that's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
Is we're the demographic that's coming up.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all the older.
It's a very
that's
controversial...
For another time, that's not sports, right?
Yeah.
Not really. But I mean, I briefly
it
mentioned
is a type
it
of
last
race, but
on Monday because that that's came true. Up over the weekend, I think. But yeah, so did you, Connor, did you come up with one?
I'd like to hear yours, man.
Okay, I got one. I was going to do two, and I'm going to explain why I'm not going to do the second one anymore.
Okay.
But the first one is Jason Terry gets an entry into the Wall of Shame. Because Jason Terry is on the Houston Rockets, and he guaranteed that they would beat the Warriors in game five. Yeah, in game five. And then he didn't score a point.
Oh my gosh.
Nice.
I mean, first off, I mean, to guarantee a win against
the
team
team
that has set the record for the most wins in a season.
Right.
Even without Steph Curry, they're a really good team. But he guaranteed a win, and then he didn't show up to the game. And I'm sure that part of it was the Warriors, like, all right, you're going to guarantee a win. We're going to shut you down and shut you up. And so, I mean, for that, he gets an entry into the Wall of Shame. You can't guarantee a win and then just lay an egg. It just doesn't
lay an
really
egg.
Work
I
out.
Like that expression.
Goose eggs.
What does that expression even mean? Lay an egg. Sit on it. I don't know.
I don't know where it comes from, actually.
My English teacher always says goose egg. I don't know if that has anything.
Well, that's a zero.
Yeah, that's zero. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, I guess you could say he laid an egg because he scored
okay.
zero, but
yeah.
that's not. Lay an egg is really just means that you didn't perform well. It
yeah.
doesn't have to mean that you didn't score at all.
Yeah.
In this case, it does, but.
Hey.
But yeah.
All right. My Hall of Shame for the week is legendary quarterback Cam Newton.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Cam Newton has just came out apologizing for, we all remember when he lost the Super Bowl and his little drama at the press conference
yeah.
following.
I didn't follow that.
I will. Then we will update you.
You should fill me in. You should fill
then
me in.
Then apparently you haven't lived in this country for like the past three, four months.
I saw who won. I was like, let's get it, and then carry on.
Okay. Well, Cam Newton lost terribly. It was a great game. I mean, I was entertained the whole time.
It was awesome. Just Denver's defense was just dominant, and it was. But the best, like, okay, before we get to the post-game press conference that you're referring to, during the game, like, at the end, after, like, it was a foregone conclusion that it was over, there was two different times that Cam Newton, like, threw himself on the ground throwing a fit.
Yeah, I saw
like
that.
A child.
Oh, that's all over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a Twitter, Carolina Instagram. Panthers fan, but, like, Cam Newton's very much only good when he's having fun.
We talk about this all the time.
Yeah.
Cam Newton is the definition of a head case, and once he starts to lose it, there's no coming back. I mean, you watch. They did so good in the regular season. Why? Because they never went down.
Yeah.
Anytime they went down for a certain period of time, he wasn't used to losing.
They didn't really deal with much in the way of adversity in the regular season because they were always up and he was always smiling and all that. And then
he's having fun.
And then it wasn't going well, and he didn't know how to handle it.
I've heard it said that they were the worst team to ever go undefeated.
I'm the one who told you that.
Well, they weren't undefeated. They went 15-1.
When they were
11-0, I read this great article on ESPN that called them the worst team ever to go 11-0.
That's pretty harsh.
I believe it.
It's harsh, but it's true. Think about it.
Think about it. What's another big name besides Cam Newton that you know across? There's Luke Kuechly, who's the middle linebacker.
Are we talking about just the Panthers then?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Luke Kuechly, obviously. Josh Norman was a big name
last
year.
What's his one receiver?
But he's not there anymore.
That he really liked.
He's gone, though. Sam Smith.
No.
What?
Right?
No.
No.
Nope, that's a recording artist, I think.
No, but it's something like that. You're right, way off.
Travis Benjamin was his favorite receiver, but he was injured for
still,
at the end of the year.
That team without Cam Newton, what are they?
And they not Justin Stewart. They're still a good team.
But they're not a team that goes 11. Yeah. But here's what I'm telling you. I'm not even saying that you can contribute it to Cam Newton. I'm contributing it to last year was one of the craziest seasons in football since I've been conscious. It's just nothing.
Well, he hasn't been on there for a few years.
Nothing held up. No expectations coming into the season stayed the way they were. Who expected last season that the Panthers are going to come up?
Isn't Tom Brady? Sorry, it's a total tangent, but isn't Tom Brady suspended right now?
Yeah. Deflategate's back.
They reinstated the 4-game suspension.
I think I saw this because they tried to sue. And the NFL is a private organization, right? So,
homie, you're jumping all over the board.
I know, bro.
We got focus.
I'm trying to relate.
I know you're trying to relate.
But anyway, I guess we should probably get to your Wall of Shame.
Oh, the Hall of Shame. So I'm nominating Cam Newton for this week's Hall of Shame because just now he is apologizing for his press conference actions.
What was here? Just fill me in real quick. What was like?
Okay, so he was during the press conference after the Super Bowl, he just lost and he wasn't handling it very well, and so he's sitting in the press conference.
That's an understatement.
And he's like not really answering the reporters' questions, and they're kind of asking him dumb questions because that's what reporters do sometimes. But they're asking him dumb questions. He wasn't really responding, and they also had people doing press conferences for the Broncos like right by there, and so he could hear. I think it was Chris Harris Jr. was talking about how they shut down the Panthers and stuff.
Which they did.
Which they totally did.
Yeah.
But Cam Newton got upset and just up and left like 2 minutes after his press conference started.
Kind of a little immature.
Yeah. Super immature and super unprofessional. And he wants to be kind of the face of the NFL, and he's pulling stuff like that.
If you want to be, it's already hard enough to be the black quarterback.
We can't have two Marshawn Lynch's.
Exactly. If you're going to be unprofessional, do it in a way that's hilarious like Marshawn Lynch, but that's another topic.
No, and at the same time, Marshawn Lynch, he doesn't ever want to talk.
He follows the...
Cam Newton loves talking when he's winning.
Oh, yeah. Marshawn Lynch is very respectful. Like, watch the interviews that
he's respectful,
does.
So he
thanks
for
asking.
Question.
Thanks for asking that.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking
that. I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Or when he's just like,
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, that was my favorite interview. I'm just here so I don't get fined. And the dude asked him. He's like, I already told you.
Yeah,
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Marshawn Lynch is amazing. He reminds me of Marcus a lot.
But and so Cam Newton actually got an entry into the Wall of Shame that for that okay. earlier. Well, and now we'll find out why he's re-entering
yeah.
it.
He's back re-entering because he's just now apologizing, saying, the truth is, I represented something way bigger than myself. I'm doing it for my friends and family and my fans, and I felt like I let them down. So, the fact he's apologizing 3 months too late?
Yeah.
I nominate him for the Hall of Shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little late, buddy.
Yeah, it is. And also, I thought it was dumb when his coach, you know, obviously your coach needs to defend you and stuff, but then he was saying that, you know, that he thought that they should change the system and not have, the losing team shouldn't have to do press, like, stuff, you know,
that's
half
how
an
it's
hour
always
after
the been.
Game. Yeah, that's how it's always been.
Why
Everyone's
are we
going to
change it?
Been able to handle
somebody...
it.
Hold up, you're an athlete who gets paid millions of dollars to throw a ball, and I'm supposed to care about your feelings after you lose?
It's part of the contract.
Like you're still driving that Benz home. Like I don't give a rat's.
Yeah, like the biggest thing for me though is just it's not even that that they get paid millions and all that. Obviously, that's a contributing factor, but for me, with Cam Newton, like after every post game during the season when they're winning, he's all smiles and laughing and talking down his opponents.
Kind of like gives respects to the other team and stuff.
Yeah,
too.
But like, he spends the whole season talking down his opponents, talking about how great the Panthers are, and then when he comes up on the wrong end of the score, he can't handle it and he acts like a 5-year-old. But then again, he was kind of acting like a 5-year-old when he was winning, by the way he acted.
Yeah.
Just as a happy 5-year-old instead of an upset one.
A 5-year-old with the lollipop rather than
without.
Yeah. So, I guess, really quick, I do want to say the other one that I was going to do is Laramie Tunsil.
Explain
if you guys were watching the draft last night,
everything just kind of
imploded for him.
Okay.
Okay, so he...
I don't even know who Laramie Tunsil
is.
Give us the backstory.
Was on Twitter.
Yeah, okay, so he...
I saw this.
For a while, like this offseason, after the combine, he was considered he was going to be the number one pick for the Titans because they weren't going to go quarterback.
Where's he from?
He went to Ole Miss.
Okay.
And he was, like, at the top of everyone's draft boards, one of the most talented guys in the draft. But recently his stock has kind of fallen because of, you know, different things no one really said, but, you know, a lot of GMs kind of knew that, like, there were issues with him.
And then in what way? I mean,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's like no one really knew. Laramie Tunsil is his name. And so, like, the GMs were saying that there were things that they knew were going on, and so he was losing draft stock. But, like, the media and, like, everyone, the regular people, didn't really know what they were talking about. And then 10 minutes before the draft, when he was expected to be, you know, a top 5 pick.
Wow.
Someone hacked his Twitter. He's saying it was a hack.
I thought he just literally posted.
No, there's no way that he would have posted that
then.
He it would be terrible timing.
Picture.
But yeah, so he... Somebody posted on his Twitter that a little video of him smoking a bong with a gas mask. Like 10 minutes before the draft starts.
Oh my gosh.
That's just a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
Not something you want...
And
your
so,
NFL picks
yeah, and so that literally cost him millions of dollars because a lot of teams took him off their draft board because they don't want to deal with that.
Wow.
And the thing is, he owned up to it. He's like, you know, that was me. That was a few years ago, and it was a mistake and everything. I didn't put that on Twitter. And then also during the draft, someone hacked his Instagram and posted like screenshots of text messages between him and his coach when he was asking his coach for money to help pay for rent and like an electric bill. There's no way he would post that either. So I don't have any reason to doubt his saying that they were both hacked. I think like there's suspicions that it's his stepfather who he's kind of had a falling out with.
That's what I'm saying. Who is that out to get this guy?
Like, yeah.
That they're trying to destroy his life work.
Because that's like someone going out of their way, you know. It's not like they just found this stuff. It's like someone's actually steps.
And then, like, after he was finally selected, like, I think it was 13th overall to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins said they knew about, like, this stuff, and they were going to work through it.
The Dolphins really don't have any other choice because their team's trash. Anyway, shout out Nate Lowerson. How's that one feel, buddy?
Nate's probably real happy with you right now. But anyway, so that happened. So he dropped a bunch. He was going to be probably three or four, and then he dropped all the way to 13. Cost him millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And then he kind of got assaulted during a press conference later on because they were like asking him about those things, and like they asked him about specifically about the text messages, like did your coach give you money, did you accept money from your coach, And you know, at that point, you have to say no comment. Like you don't want to.
You let the PR guys deal with it.
You can't say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he straight up was like, I would have to say yes.
No, he's yeah. so hey, dumb.
At least
but he hasn't really had like much experience with that. Like he's. This like, as a new. College one, you're really protected.
College athletes are very protected.
Because the media relations people won't put up with you asking anything like that. Yeah. Professional athletes, it's fair game. Like,
I mean, you're getting paid. Look at our college athletes. You can't even get an interview with Cam Newton or Chucky Keaton or whoever.
Cam Newton's not at our...
I don't know. I was just spitting it.
Okay.
But, like, but say yeah. you want an interview with Chucky Keaton. That's near impossible.
Yeah, it's really
tough. Media relations, one, knows that some college athletes, I'm not saying all college athletes, but can be idiots.
Yeah,
and
they don't want to make
and
money
they don't
on the
they
side
don't want them to say anything that's going to look bad on the program, and
right.
that's exactly what happened with Laramie Tunsil. Ole Miss is already being investigated for stuff, and this is going to
like
NCAA was sitting at the porch when yeah. Ole Miss got home from the draft.
Like. Seriously, like this threw gasoline on that fire, and I mean I feel bad for the kid because he was kind of like ambushed on every side, and just in real time his life like his situation was just kind of falling apart.
In the sake of 2 hours,
yeah,
and so I was gonna add him to the hall to the wall of shame because of his, you know, saying yeah I took money, but I feel bad for him.
Yeah, I was like,
because
yeah.
he was attacked, and
I agree. There's a certain thing with he just didn't know. He
yeah.
doesn't know you can say no comment.
He's
or,
not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean he hasn't had any experience with like the professional media coverage, and
someone sabotaging my man.
Yeah. And he's being sabotaged in, like, real time. Just, can you imagine sitting there, you know, thinking you're going to get drafted 3 or 4.
And then all of a sudden.
And then that pops up. They suspended his Twitter account, like, shortly after.
I mean, there's going to be a lot
They
of
got
lawsuits.
On it real quick, but it's still, like, it goes out there even for a second and people will get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lawsuits, for sure, though, are going to be coming out when they find out who posted those.
Maybe. Like I said, like, there's suspicion that it was his stepfather. His stepfather denied it to TMZ.
Because he knew to say no.
Because he knew to say no comment.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I do want to say, like, I respect him for owning up to the picture. He's saying, that was me. Mm-hmm. That was a while ago. I don't have a drug problem. You can check. Yeah. I didn't ever fail a drug test while I was at school.
Yeah.
And he said it was from a few years before, and... Like, I believe him with that, but, I mean, it sucks.
Because they did the oil
and then,
changes.
And part of the problem is that one of his teammates, Kandichi, I think is his last name, he was drafted towards the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy, he has a lot of off-the-field issues that teams are worried about. And he's an excellent athlete, but he also fell because of those things. But the association with him kind of made it feel like, okay, well, we can't really trust that you are telling the truth, that you don't have a problem, because...
we don't trust him over here, and you cats have been hanging out.
Yeah, basically. So, I mean, I feel for the kid.
That is an unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
But I think that goes in perfectly to talking about last night's draft.
Yeah, it does, I feel like. I guess, are any of you guys, like, super... Do you have a team, and you just, like, love your team or
no,
whatever?
No, I mean, I like the Seahawks, but...
Same page.
I don't have a...
I don't really
We were talking about this at
Jimmy
John's. He gets all mad at me. He's like, you like the Seahawks? I'm like, okay.
No, I was just kidding.
Family from Seattle, but I'll tell you what. You're a Broncos fan. You can't say anything to me for a good minute.
Why?
Because I can't know that you're just not a bandwagon. I mean, I obviously know you're not a bandwagon, but...
Yeah, I'm not a bandwagon.
The Broncos really did surprise everybody, I think.
I wasn't really surprised because they were awesome on defense all year. Okay. And then in that game, everyone kind of like wrote them off because they're like, oh... Carolina's so good, and I'm just like, Denver's had to fight
Denver's
for every game
the whole season,
and they've won in many different ways, and they won on the back of the defense. And Carolina's been able to cruise over everybody, like
in
the playoffs, they were destroying the Seahawks, and then the Seahawks came back and made it sort of close at the end, but it was never really a situation where the Seahawks would have won. And then
the whole last season was a mess for the
Carson
Seahawks.
Palmer had a complete meltdown in that game.
Yeah.
And so Carolina didn't really have any tests the entire year. They lost their last game of the season, and I mean that was the only time that they had major adversity. And so I was like, the closer we got to the game, I was the more confident.
No,
I felt.
You definitely knew. Wow, are we really talking about the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Three votes. Like, but you definitely knew. Cam Newton was in trouble because he's never faced a team who has the pressure on defense and is as intense and strong
let's say
as
that
the Broncos.
Season. Because, I mean, he's still been playing for a while.
Yeah, right? We're not saying...
But we're talking about last season.
No one's saying... Yeah, no
well,
one's saying
that's important because
Cam Newton is a rookie quarterback.
But
no.
That's important
no
because
one's saying
it's
that.
Not his first time facing a good team.
But
so
all
why does
season,
he break down?
When
but
you've
yeah.
been coasting
because he's never
all
used to
season,
losing.
His number one receiver was on the fritz, and his name's slipping my mind. Cam Newton... So... The throwing game was not an option because his number one receiver was not there. He'd been off all playoffs.
Well, no, their number one receiver had gotten injured during the season.
Right.
And their passing offense was doing all right, and their running was doing pretty well.
Not in playoffs, though.
Well, the whole thing
his,
is just
one
the
of his
option.
Starting receivers had 33 yards for the entire playoffs.
But, I mean, but so they were still getting a lot of yards to the air and stuff in their first two games.
Because it's all like an option run.
But the biggest thing was... It was crazy because Denver could get pressure on him with rushing four guys and dropping everyone else back in coverage. And they had the best coverage like group in the country. They've got like top 10 cornerbacks and then two really good safeties, and also the linebackers could cover too. They were rushing four, getting pressure on him. He couldn't find guys open because they were being covered as well. But the pass rush was just so good that
that's what
they
I'm
were
thinking.
Always getting there.
Honestly, I think what it came down to is their bread and butter, which is just rushing coverage, is where Cam Newton, that's what really is going to hurt his game. That's
yeah,
where he really was
too.
Weak. And it was just an unfortunate situation.
But at the same time, Tom Brady got destroyed by that too. So it's not any knock on Cam. And the thing that
Cam's
a lot
great
of people have kind of, it's funny because a lot of people wrote, the Denver Broncos off for that Super Bowl. And they've kind of already written them off for doing much this year because of the quarterback situation.
So let's
because Peyton retired and Osweiler went to Houston, which I don't know why he would do that, but I mean, he wanted to get paid. But
now, talk to me about this. I saw on ESPN that some are signing a petition trying to get Tebow back.
Yeah, that's never going to happen.
I hope
but
not.
People
I just want
that.
Your thoughts on that.
It's dumb because Tebow is a good athlete, but he wasn't a great quarterback. And besides that, Denver drafted a quarterback last night. They traded with the Seahawks. They moved up five spots from 31 to 26, and they drafted Paxton Lynch, who isn't completely as refined as like the top two that got drafted. But I'm excited for it because I really wanted them to be able to get him or Connor Cook, and they were able to get Paxton Lynch after trading, and I'm excited about that. A lot of teams were going to try to work to get him at the end of the first round, and Denver jumped them with the Seahawks and got them. And Seahawks always doing what they're doing and picking up more picks.
So let's do a draft update. You know, I'm a busy college student. I'm writing papers all last night, so I didn't get to watch any of the draft, and I haven't read up on it. So educate.
Okay.
Quick rundown.
Welcome. This is a new segment called Ethan's Education. Ethan's Sports Education.
Tell us about the draft. What stood out? Anything?
That's every Monday and Friday, Ethan's Sports Education.
That's what we're here to do.
But, okay, so I'm going to pick it up. Just going to pull this up so I can give you, like, teams
names.
That we're doing. Yeah, so the first pick, everyone pretty much knew. It was, like, 99% sure everyone was that it was going to be this guy. It was Jared Goff from California. He's a great quarterback, and he's going to go in there and it's going to start right away
who
and be good.
Up?
The Rams.
Okay.
So the Rams move to California and they pick a California kid for a quarterback.
Yeah.
And
convenient.
Yeah. And then the Eagles drafted Carson Wentz. So 1-2, everyone knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
After they had traded up there. Everyone knew that was going to happen. I think they're both good picks for both teams. The Rams have needed quarterback help for a long time. They tried to do it with Bradford. Bradford didn't really work out because he just couldn't stay healthy. And Bradford is currently the quarterback on the Eagles, and he wants to get traded because they drafted Carson Wentz, and the Eagles don't want to trade him. And really, he'll probably – no one else really was approaching the Eagles about trading for him except the Broncos, but the Eagles wanted like 2 second-round picks, which is ridiculous because he's like a mid-level starter. He's not great. And they're asking for, like, a starting, like, a top-caliber guy, almost. And anyway, Carson Wentz, they drafted him. They kind of expect him to need some time to develop. And so they sit behind a starting quarterback. Bradford is currently their starting quarterback. They continually reiterate that. But it might end up being Chase Daniel, might be the starter for this year. And Carson Wentz might even jump in partway through the season, depending on how his development goes. But the biggest thing for him, he's a great athlete, but he was playing against Division II schools, the FCS. And so they're kind of worried about him being able to transition to, like, the higher level of competition.
The highest level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously. The highest level.
The league. Yeah, he's going to the league.
And so Ohio State had four guys drafted in the top 20 picks.
Wow, that looks good for them.
Yeah. They have a lot of talent, and a lot of guys went. Number three, they had Joey Bosa, and his teammate Ezekiel Elliott went to the Cowboys. And so the Cowboys have a really good back once again, and so they're probably going to run for a lot of yards this year. Jaguars got Jalen Ramsey, who's a cornerback, who can also play safety, and probably one of the best position picks. He's one of the best, like, spots for his position. He's, like, an elite talent. So he only kind of fell because people had other needs.
Right.
And so
he would have been
higher. He could have been the number one pick.
Right, he could have been the number one pick if people needed, a cornerback safety.
If they didn't have other serious needs.
Right.
I kind of thought that he was going to go number three to the Chargers, but they picked Joey Bosa, who's also really good.
So anything what were you going to say? I hate to cut you off.
That was all I was saying for that.
Anything, here in the first round that surprised you, other than the whole, bong and Twitter drama?
Yeah, I mean, and that cost him, like, there was two tackles that were taken before him after that.
Mm-hmm.
One pick that kind of surprised a lot of people was, it was an Ohio State player, but it was a cornerback, Eli Apple. He got taken before Vernon Hargreaves, who was from Florida, who a lot of people considered Hargreaves a lot better athlete. But Apple, he's young and he's got a lot of talent, but didn't really have as much production. So that was kind of a surprise. The Laramie Tunsil thing obviously was a surprise. I was surprised when the Raiders picked Carl Joseph from West Virginia.
I saw that on Facebook.
An undersized safety, but he's like got tons of energy and flies around and plays hard. So I'm sure that he'll do fine. But the reason it was a surprise to me is I thought they were going to pick Miles Jack. And Miles Jack fell completely out of the first round. And this guy is ranked, like, fifth, like, on talent. But the reason why he's fallen is because they're worried that he might not be able to, like, have a very long career. Mm. And at least he won't be able to play out his first contract without having to get major surgery that'll keep him out for a while. That was the biggest thing. A lot of them kind of went how you'd expect. I kind of thought that the Bills and the Jets were both thinking of drafting Paxton Lynch, but neither one did. The Texans are going to be pretty good next year, I think. They drafted another really good wide receiver. He's just super fast. Laquan Treadwell, I was surprised that he wasn't drafted earlier. He was really good in college last year. Did you guys see that highlight when he... when they had the ball, it was, like, tipped up in the air, and he, like, caught it off the deflection and, like, was gone. It was, like, an 80-yard touchdown.
Uh-oh.
It was ridiculous. It was awesome. But he had tons of, like, just great catches all season. Another one, I was kind of surprised when the Broncos moved up. I thought they would just sit 31 and take what they got, but they moved up to take Paxton Lynch, like I was saying.
I know. Are you excited about that? How do you feel?
I'm excited because I wanted them to get him. Or Connor Cook. I was going to be good with either one, but I was thinking that they were going to end up with Connor Cook because I didn't think they would move. But that guy, he's got a cannon. He's super athletic. He's probably now got the best arm in the league. He can just launch it. I watched his highlights from his pro day, and he could just get the ball anywhere. He didn't play under center, so he's going to have to work on that a lot, but I really don't think that's a huge thing.
Adjustment?
Yeah, not when you're young. I mean, Peyton Manning played most of his career out of the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was an issue for him, being an older guy, having played for years and years out of the shotgun, having to try to do under center. And that's why they kind of had that hybrid offense last year in Denver. Well,
you got to think about moving to the league is already an adjustment in itself. So you throw that on, that's just, it's just a part of moving to professional football.
Yeah, and so I don't think that part is going to be a problem. He does need to work on his accuracy a little bit, but, I mean, he's got the guys there to help him out with that. Both Coach Kubiak and John Elway are great with quarterbacks and then how to teach them and train them up. So I'm super excited for it. We needed a quarterback, and we got one. What?
Been a good draft so far.
So far, yeah. We just gave up a third-round pick to move up that spot or to that spot.
Okay.
Anybody from Utah State get drafted?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I think that Kyler Fackrell might be drafted today.
Okay.
He's one of the better outside linebackers in the country. He's pretty highly rated. One thing that I was thinking about is that I thought would be awesome is if Nick Vigil ended up on the Broncos, because they need a middle linebacker, and
he's awesome.
He would be awesome.
You know what would be also awesome? If I ended up on the Broncos.
Right?
I submitted my name to the draft board. We'll see what comes of it. But
is there anybody from just Connor. Utah, like the state of Utah?
No one's been selected yet. There's probably going to be a few that go today.
You think?
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm assuming that Devontae Booker is going to be drafted today.
Here's the running?
Running back, yeah.
He's a powerhouse. I got to go on the field down there
this past season, and I saw him coming through one of the holes, and I was like, dang. Yeah,
that guy's a beast.
I know Brandon Fanica is like a – or Jason Fanica is a for sure.
Really?
But he's got to finish out his senior year at U of U.
And then there's also Bronson Cafusi from BYU is projected to go pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because he's talented. Don't like BYU at all, but he is a talented player.
Now I want to talk about Booker because they – oh, my gosh. Anyways, continue.
Booker is really good. There's some people that predicted him going to the Broncos in the second round, but I don't think that's going to happen. They've got other needs, and they've got they're kind of set at running back for now. But I think Devontae Booker is going to go today. He, along with what's his name from Alabama, totally blanking on his name right now, the Heisman winner. Derrick Henry,
the most important guy coming from college football right now. Oh yeah, I know who you're on about.
Yeah, that guy's he's big. I think he's going to be really good. But I mean, I think both those guys are gone today. I think Fackrell will go today. Vigil might go in the third round.
That'd be
but
awesome.
It might be the fourth or fifth. I would love for him to go to the Broncos. Then I can keep cheering for him.
Exactly. You got a little home state.
Yeah, and I think Hunter Sharp will go at some point. And I think Marvin Evans should go, but we'll have to see because he's. Like every mock draft I looked at, I didn't see him anywhere, but I think that someone will pick him up because he was really talented.
Okay.
So I think he'll be able to go.
So sports.
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 So that's kind of, it's exciting. Draft starts back up at 4 o'clock today. You can watch it on ESPN or NFL Network.
If we
or
had
just
TV,
stay on
you
Twitter. Yeah, if I had a TV.
Keep it on Twitter.
Which I don't because I'm a broke college cat. But.
That rolls.
In my heart, I'm watching the draft.
Are you with Verizon?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can watch it on the NFL mobile app.
That's a game changer. Yeah. That is definitely
you can
a game changer.
You can watch local games during the season and also primetime games on that, too, if you have Verizon.
Interesting. This is a discussion for another time. I need to learn about this.
At least either it's a more everything plan or something. I don't know. Anyway, I can watch it. So
okay.
I do it all the time. But anyway, we'll probably have to move on really quick. We're going to talk... We got to get through a couple things in the next, like, 10 minutes.
I know. We spent a lot of time on the draft.
Yeah. Well, that and then talking about the Super Bowl and stuff.
Oh, I know. We got off on a tangent. You guys really screwed me. I'm trying to come in and talk about facts I'm trying to remember from the Super Bowl that happened 3 months ago. And I'm just... So thanks for that.
But, yeah. So, I mean, going to jump in really quick. Asked on Twitter this week what they wanted us to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The top thing was... Sponsors on jerseys.
Interesting.
And so...
Give us a little background. Help us understand what's going on with this.
Okay, so at this point, like every like professional soccer team has sponsors on the jerseys.
Oh.
You look at anything like... A great example is the Seattle Sounders. They have Xboxes on the front of their jersey.
It is their jersey.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with like everywhere. Real Salt Lake, I don't remember what's on theirs.
They got something on there.
Yeah, like every professional soccer team has
even
something.
It's
on
like
them.
Their whole jersey. Is pretty
yeah,
much
yeah, everywhere. Like FC Barcelona, especially. They have their tiny symbol in the corner, but then they have the name of like some company
Xbox
or whatever on the front.
Yeah, they have their little badge, like almost like a badge
a seal.
Position.
Yeah, and that's the
yeah,
thing
seal,
is like.
Okay. But you across the front, you have their giant logo.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's kind of where it is. Like most of the time you look at a soccer jersey, if you don't immediately recognize the jersey because you know the team, it takes a minute to figure out who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true.
And so the NBA, just last week, I think, it might have been the week before, the owners decided that after next season, so not this season, but after next season, they're going to like start doing that. They're going to start putting sponsors on jerseys.
As far as economics goes, like, the team's going to be making bank.
They're already making bank. It's just a money grab.
Yeah.
They don't need it to like, get by.
Yeah,
they're making billions of dollars off of TV.
That's probably going to bring it up,
though. Jersey sales and stuff. It is. It's definitely going to bring it up. And it's just, for me, it's just a money grab. And I think I'm not excited about it. I don't think that they should do it.
How much does that really go, like, how much promotion does the company actually get from that?
Oh, you probably pay.
Well, the company gets a lot. I mean, like, they get their brand is
they're gonna
on TV almost every night.
That's true.
And if they have multiple teams that they're sponsoring, there's, like, multiple teams that are they're getting exposure every night. And
plus,
people buy stuff.
You go out, you buy a jersey. Say I go out and then I buy a Lakers jersey. And everywhere I wear that Lakers jersey,
it says Propel or whatever. By,
Well, they don't really have any, like, at least not ones that are on jerseys right now.
Yeah. But
there will be
some. For example,
let's just say that, like,
Gatorade or something.
Well, Gatorade would probably sponsor some, like, the Heat or someone from Florida.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's say, like, for the Lakers, we could just throw on, like, say Target sponsors them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you have Target, like,
you go buy a Lakers jersey.
So that's my question. Is there regulation towards what it'll be? Like, will it be a major part of the jersey?
I think it will.
That's the question.
There's the Nike on the side, like.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think they really give specs on that. But
probably,
like, with NASCAR,
religion.
They've got
there
tons of different
be,
like little patches all over their uniforms.
Well, NASCAR, what do you know the person? You don't know the
you
person's
know them by
number.
Their car.
You know, oh, this cat drives the car for Cheetos. That's what you know.
Yeah, and so it could be something like that where there's just like a ton of sponsors all crammed all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It could be like with soccer where they usually just have one major sponsor.
One major sponsor, with
and
minors.
It's just like. It's, like, big. Like, it takes up more room. So you could see a thing where the NBA, like, logos are just, like, tiny things up in the corner.
It's
and
a little bad.
Or they got
have
one.
You just have to know who their sponsor is to know which team.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you would
I
be able to tell.
I think that would be a shame, honestly.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't think that they should do it. I don't really like that they do it with soccer. But I guess you have to make money on soccer somehow.
Yeah, because soccer's not – I mean, at least in the U.S., it's not as big as
– internationally, it's well-known. Everyone loves it. But I also don't think that they get as much on TV deals as they do with, like, football.
Yeah, they don't.
Basketball.
It's not like NBA. And
that's why I think
NFL.
The regulations would be a big deal, though, because I think it'll really depend on if it's going to be the, you know, focal point of the jersey is the sponsors or if the team is still the focal point.
Yeah,
there's got to be regulation on it.
There's going to be some sort of format, but I'm kind of worried that it's going to be a thing where
take away from the.
It's going to be more focused on the sponsor than the team. And
I don't think it'd start out that way. It might wind up that way, but maybe for the first few years it might be minor.
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not excited about it. It's not like it was something they needed to do to get by.
Now here,
I could understand that, but there's no way that that's an issue.
Let me put this into perspective for you. We go back 20 years to totally different sport. We're going to talk about baseball real quick. To Ken Griffey Jr. when he was in the outfield picking up balls with his hat backwards. And people threw a fit. Just saying, you're breaking tradition. That's not how it goes. So people are always going to be resistant to the change of any uniforms and what we're used to. You know? I think, it could get out of hand where we see it's soccer and it's just a logo. And then the team is just pushing that logo everywhere they go. But, you know, I think in 5 years, no one's honestly even going to care, no matter what happens.
Because it's still the game.
Still the game. We still love basketball.
Yeah, I mean, that's all true and everything. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll deal with it, but
who knows? Maybe it'll become a thing.
Do you think it'll be like what the stadium is? So, like, the Jazz would be like the, you know, Energy Solutions.
Well, it's Vivint now.
It's Vivint, but
but, I mean, are you saying, like, will that become
like
a part of their name?
How it used to be, like, the Energy Solutions Arena.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be, like, the Energy Solutions Jazz basketball team.
No, it's
like
not going to be that.
Oh, my god.
No, it'd be, like, the Utah Jazz sponsored by Vivint.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how they would do it.
And they'd have Vivint on it.
They wouldn't take away, like, the names that they already have. They would just be, like, every commercial, like during March Madness, is a great example.
Oh yeah.
Brought to you by Toyota, or the Toyota Halftime Report. Brought to you by Nissan. It's like they throw on, not really. Just, I mean, this is throwing stuff on.
Yeah.
Obviously, two competing companies wouldn't really be a part of the same thing, but they like just throw on sponsors like that, and I think that's kind of just how it would be. But yeah, they're not gonna like replace the name and say the Energy Solutions Arena or Energy Solutions Jazz.
Yeah,
it would still be the Utah Jazz, but it'd be like the Utah Jazz sponsored by.
Brought to you by whatever.
Yeah. I think where it could get out of hand is if you start having these sponsors trying to dictate some of the rules, like on the terms and conditions. Okay, we'll give you guys, you know, this much for sponsorship, but you can only say this and this and this on TV. You've got to mention our names 15 times in every press.
Well, that's a part of every kind of advertisement.
But that's
thing.
Just that's what that's I'm saying. It'll be interesting how far that goes.
Well,
how
I mean,
much control they get as just a sponsor.
They won't really get that much because everyone's going to want to be a sponsor because they want to get their name out there. So really, the power is all to the owners. They get to control everything.
Yeah,
exactly.
They control like who's on their team and stuff like that. They get to control the sponsors because the sponsors are like, yeah, like I need this to make my business expand.
Yep.
Like the NBA doesn't need sponsors to expand the NBA.
No.
So the owners are going to control everything like that.
So what you're saying is corporate America, don't let us down.
No, I'm talking about, so like the coaching staff, just the ethics of it will be interesting. Like, let's say sponsor one is going to give us $500,000 if just to pay, but the sponsor two will give us $750,000 if we just do these couple changes to the team and just kind of see where that goes. Do you think that'll be an issue?
No, I mean, it'll only be a thing where the only thing that will happen is the sponsors will give them like stuff that they want the players to wear. That could be in like a post-game press conference. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's going to be on the jerseys. They're not going
to give them a drink.
Not going to be able to like do anything in the way of like saying, oh, we don't like this person on team, or we need you to say
that.
They're
going to have sponsors. That's not going to happen. Sponsors don't have any push in the management of the team.
But so let's say the team, though, let's say a player says something that the sponsor doesn't want to represent, because that can be an issue, too. So that's what I'm saying.
The thing is,
control their speech.
They won't, but the owners will be like, well, look, we're going to fine you because you didn't like fulfill your thing. But really, it's more about them just like wearing stuff with their name on it.
Okay.
They're not really going to be having to talk about it that much.
I'm like, just curious how much control it would have. But if it's just like hey, we're sponsored by real quick, these couple.
Yeah, it would just be like on
Nesquik.
Team Gear.
We need to use a Nesquik.
Team Gear would just have like the Nesquik. The sponsor on it.
Nesquik logo.
Yeah.
Nesquik's a
terrible
company.
Like Utah Jazz sponsored by Nesquik. Everywhere would have Utah Jazz and Nesquik would be like underneath it or to the side or something.
Yeah.
So it would just be something like that where it's with their logo. They won't have to like
Utah
say
Jazz
stuff for them.
Brought to you by Nesquik. And
now, if an individual athlete makes a deal with someone, they might have to like do certain appearances at certain things. But
I guess that's true. Different endorsements.
Yeah.
Commercials.
But that's like about it.
It should be interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to see, definitely.
And it's already 10 o'clock, but we said we would talk about it.
Let's talk about it. You guys got a couple minutes?
Yeah, I got no class.
I got
5 semester.
Yeah, I'm gonna go upstairs and bug Nate after this for a minute. But
he's there, he's like never there when I try to go up after this.
I know.
But anyway, we were gonna talk about athletes if we think that they're maybe weaker than like in previous generations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you look at it nowadays, you have someone in the NBA will sit out for like weeks for like bruised ribs, and back a couple like. With Jordan or whatever, you could have, like, during that age, players would play with, like, sprained ankles, and they would get it taped up and keep playing and stuff, and I don't know. I just feel like a lot of times athletes are kind of, they don't really show toughness.
I think it comes down to the money. Like,
that's
players are seen as, like,
you know,
merchandise.
Right. Yeah. When I was thinking about this, too, and I think, you know, where we are at with science, if a player plays their cards right, they're able to sustain such a long career. I mean, Kobe just retired at what?
He was 37.
Old. 37?
Not old, but old.
Well, I mean, he had been playing for years. 20 years in the league, so he was 38, I think.
And he was able to sustain that, you know, long career because he was careful. You didn't see him taking any risks.
Well, I mean, it's not – that's not
– Let's not compare him to, like, your regular NBA
player. All right.
I'm not talking he's about like, –
Yeah, he's one of the best.
Like, obviously, if you have a serious injury, you're not going to play.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, when you have someone that has, like, bruised ribs. I mean – Sure, it hurts, but I mean, it's not like anything that like, should stop
you from
playing.
Like, you can do this. You can win if you want to win.
Yeah, and even like if you do like sit out one game for it, like one game, but then you have guys that sit out for like 2 weeks. I remember Allen Iverson sat out for like three or four weeks because of bruised ribs.
I just watched the greatest documentary on him, by the way. It's called Iverson. It's on Netflix. Check it out. Continue. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, but there's stuff like that all the time. You have just like stupid injuries how that are just like really minor that sure they hurt a little bit, but I mean they're not really going to affect your performance yeah. that much.
How and much of it do you think is trying to get the second string in though?
I don't think it
is. If it's not a huge key player to your team, I could see them saying, okay, listen, recover for a little bit, let's try some other guys for just a minute.
That's the thing is like sit out a game, maybe two, but
yeah, not a long,
not like weeks.
Now how about this, think about what if a player doesn't want to play unless they can play at their best because, oh, they have a bad game? You know, how does that look on the rap sheet?
But how does it look when they're skipping games all the time?
Yeah,
that's true.
Nobody talks into those numbers when you're factoring percentages out for made and missed shots. No one says, oh, he missed this game. That doesn't penalize you anywhere.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, you still look at how many games the person played.
Yeah.
It's like
because it's that overall average.
That's how you count the average.
Is your window of like what you're looking at? Is it from 40 games or is it from the 82 games?
Yeah.
Like if you skip like half your games because you don't feel good that day,
you're trying to pad your stats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are going to notice that, and like you look at it. You remember Jordan had that flu game where he just went off. You know he was playing when he was sick, and nowadays like people won't ever do that. Obviously, I think that was during like the finals.
I feel like people would think
more highly
of you if you played while you were a little bit off your game.
Yeah, that was.
So obviously, I mean, most guys won't want to skip in the playoffs, but I mean, just to me, I think a lot of times they.
Well, Jordan part was, of it is Michael Jordan's measures, a different breed. We can't really compare anyone.
Well, it's not just him. It was like all the guys. Right. Like, okay, so for example, Ronnie Lott, he played for the 49ers. He was a safety. He broke his finger during a game, and he was going to have to go out for the rest of the game, and he didn't want to, so he had them amputate his finger during a game.
Fly.
And they had him, like, taped up, and he went back out and finished the game.
When exactly. was this?
This was back in, like, the 90s, I think.
And he broke his finger and just cut it off?
Yeah.
He's like, that's a man trying to get some money.
No, that's a man who loves
to play the game.
That's a man trying to tear some head.
And that's one thing that I think that we've kind of gotten away from in professional sports is a lot of guys aren't doing it because they love it as much as they're doing it for the money.
You know what,
like,
though?
Obviously the money's good, but you should love it too, I think.
I wonder too, how much is regulations from the league saying you need to sit this player? Because on the same vein with that with football, back then you could take a serious head hit, but stay in because you're like, no, I don't have a concussion, I'm fine. So if they think you have anything, they make you sit.
Well, I mean, it's different with concussions than other injuries because concussions, like,
football.
That's brain stuff.
Well, I'm just like, relating it to, I wonder.
No. I got you. And I don't think the league ever says anything about that because the league wants their best players to be out there every night.
Yeah,
because
for sure.
More people are going to watch and say, like, the Spurs are going to be playing the Warriors. And
nobody wants to see third string.
Yeah, you don't want to see, like,
you want the guys.
Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker and Tim Duncan, LaMarcus Aldridge. You don't want all those guys to sit on the Spurs and have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green sitting for the Warriors. Nobody's
going to want
to watch that game.
Nobody wants to watch the backups game.
So the NBA always encourages them to play, like barring like a concussion, because that is it could cause irreparable damage.
Yeah.
Future.
But I'm saying now we know that, where back then, and this has come out, that the NFL just avoided that, was like, just kind of not talk about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I wonder how much of that, like, I don't think you could cut your finger off and continue to play today.
Yeah, like,
I'm
sure you could have wanted to.
Yes,
no, I definitely feel like they wouldn't allow it.
I just think
we're more like knowledgeable on like a lot of these
medical
conditions
saying.
And stuff.
Medicine
so.
Has gotten further, so you know people are more concerned about smaller things. So, like, I mean, a guy bleeds on the field. He can't even go out on the field bloody.
Yeah, because they're going to be like, whoa, that's insanitary. We're back then. I feel like it was just...
Everyone was just like, oh, it's just... Blood, sweat, it just mixed in with the dirt and the grass. Obviously, there is some
difference. But, I mean, it's just far as, like, the toughness factor.
Yeah.
I feel like athletes don't play as tough. Not that they aren't as tough.
Because they don't have to.
They just don't play as tough.
They're cared for a little more.
Yeah.
Definitely back then they were a lot more tougher.
Well, I mean, you've seen the pictures from like the first couple Super Bowls. What's that famous picture? The guy's smoking a cigarette halftime. Like, you couldn't do that today. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know why you'd want to. Like, if you're an athlete, here's the question. Smoking, you're going to not be able to breathe.
Here's the real question. What if, you know, our society and our generation is just not as tough as the one that came before? I mean,
I think that's a whole
I feel like that just kind of. Like, it goes with, it all kind of goes together.
What if that's what it is?
I don't think that's it. I mean, I think it's mostly, it's just a different approach, I think. Because, like, jobs today are different than jobs, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's an evolution thing. It's not that you say that we're smarter than people before or that they're tougher than us. It's just that, it's just different.
Yeah.
You know?
I think we're just trying to find out why it's different. I think that's what you're asking.
So do you think that the money's become more important than, like, the actual drive of the game?
A lot of it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think.
There's definitely still players.
I definitely
like
think there's
Watt
you
there
can tell the ones who don't
I definitely think there's an example, yeah.
I think a good example of players who aren't playing as much for money is
the
Spurs.
Who are up there.
Spurs is my team. I know a lot about them, but, like, those guys have taken pay cuts several times
and they're still
to keep, like, their group together so that they can play together and they can win. And so for them, they're, like, all about winning and stuff, and they aren't so much about making tons of money.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's, you know, really cool. There's other players who, like, for example, Malik Jackson, who was on the Broncos, their defensive end, and he left.
Takes
and he
a pay
straight
cut
up said,
and he's like,
no, he straight up said, you know, I wanted to get paid.
Yeah, like, they take a pay cut and they
hit
the road.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like, if you're making millions of dollars already,
it's
not really an issue that
you're gonna,
your
longevity, you're gonna stay there for longer.
Yeah, you lose a couple million dollars, but you're already making more than most people will make in their lives in a year.
Well, and I'm saying, even if you take that pay cut, it's gonna return.
Yeah.
Later, if you stay longer.
Yeah.
You know.
And but Malik Jackson straight up said, you know, I just wanted to get paid. So he went and took the biggest contract that he was offered to him. Whereas there's, like, other players, like another player on the Broncos, C.J. Anderson, he's their running back. He was offered a bunch of money from the Dolphins. He was offered even more by the Bears, but he chose that he was going to sign the offer sheet from the Dolphins. The Broncos had the option to match it, and they did, and so he's back with the Broncos. But, you know, he wasn't doing it just about the money. He was going where he would get paid, but he didn't go for the one that was just the most.
Yeah.
And so I think that you can tell who's playing for the money and who's playing
because definitely.
I think another one definitely is Marshawn Lynch, too. Like, you know, he was taking those fines and whatever, but he just loved football. Like, that's why he doesn't really care about interviews. He's like, I'm all about that action, boss. He's just trying to get on the field.
Yeah,
you know what
football
I mean?
And Skittles.
Yeah.
He did have a little bit of an issue with money. Like, he wanted to get paid more, like, last year. It's part of why he retired is because he wasn't going to get, like, the money he thought he should get.
Head coach had issues, too. That's why he didn't run him, which was a joke.
Well, I mean, it wasn't – honestly, that wasn't a bad decision. It just was bad execution.
Hold up. Are we really getting into Super Bowl from 2 years ago?
Nope, we're not. I was
Again.
Just making All right. comments.
I mean, I'm down.
Don't
I
take me up on tangents. How about that?
Yeah,
I make
seriously.
Tangents, you take me up on them, so don't get mad at me.
I do want to throw in really quick just for that play is it wasn't a bad decision because if they ran the ball, they wouldn't be able to stop the clock. So they wanted to throw a pass really quick. And if he misses an incomplete pass, they like it stops the clock.
I
they have
that.
Another chance. And it also, like, it's a good play because you expect them to run Marshawn Lynch right there.
Yeah.
And so they were trying to catch the Patriots off guard. It was just an amazing play by Butler on the Patriots. And
everybody
just not a great pass by Russell Wilson.
That's,
if he throws it back, like, half a foot, that's a touchdown, and they win.
So just everything that could have went wrong basically did.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it was just, it was a freak play. It wasn't a bad decision. A lot of people criticize it, but, like, strategically, it made sense.
Okay.
But, oh my gosh, did it make for a great Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy.
I'm just saying because Marshawn Lynch has made a lot of fun of that since then. Yeah. Like, he's done a couple. I saw one commercial where he was on the beach, and somebody was trying to get a beer, and he's like, yo, let me run it to him. No, I'll pass it. And they passed it, and it got messed up or whatever. But, so he's made a lot of fun of it, but I wonder if that influences his decision. But anyways, that's a whole other
topic. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We're overtime.
I like that.
Overtime.
Thanks for tuning in to Overtime. We'll catch you next week sometime. Hopefully me and Ethan will get here in on the mics. Thank you for letting us join you today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Gonna be back on Monday at 9. I don't have any finals that I have to take in a class or whatever. I have one that's online, but the other stuff is just like projects.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be done with those this weekend. So
there you go.
I just have like one thing next week. That's pretty much it. I might even do it this weekend.
Okay, then we'll be hearing you in here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tune in Monday at 9 o'clock.